This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am glad to be in the house of God this morning with all of you, and I'm especially glad to welcome you if you're visiting with us this morning. We hope you have a chance to meet some of the folks sitting around you and that you feel the Spirit of Christ moving in this place in this hour of worship. One of our practices as a congregation is to sign in every Sunday, so there are registration pads that I hope are making their way down your row and back again. And if you would sign those and let us know you were here and pay attention to the names of the others sitting on your row. And if there's a name you don't recognize, be sure and introduce yourself to one another and celebrate Christian fellowship this morning together. A few announcements as we gather. If you are visiting with us, we would invite you to come into Reed Hall, which is, if you go out this door out of worship, is a gathering place where we will have Andrew ministers. They'll have blue name tags, and they are some of our people who are especially aware of opportunities for ministry and connection, and we would love to gather with you in Reed Hall after the service. Our college students and graduate students gather for lunch after the 11 o'clock service. So if you're here at this service and would like to come back at noon and meet in Reed Hall, you'll go and have lunch together. There is a lot happening in Reed Hall this morning. Two opportunities to sign up for ministry. There's a table to sign up for the Habitat Build with all the information you need there on the table. Also an opportunity to sign up for our first Trunk or Treat, which will be Saturday, October 21st. There's more information in your insert, but it will be a wonderful way to invite the community to West End and participate in a fun time for kids especially. If you're visiting and you'd like to know more about our congregation, there is a four-week Sunday school class called West End 101. It begins today at 9:45 in McWhorter Hall, just below the sanctuary, and we hope you'll come and join us there. And finally, I just want to encourage everybody to mark your calendars for September 24th, the all-church picnic at the home of Buster and Kathy Scholl. So make sure and put that on your calendar. It's going to be a fun time for everybody. Great time for fellowship. This morning, we are continuing to hear the story of Moses, and we experience that moment when God called Moses by name and gave Moses a job to do. And in this story, I think we can see ourselves, and we can see some things about God. So let us open ourselves to this story and to hear our own names called as we worship this morning.
Thank you. We are standing on holy ground. All those who have gone before us have witnessed to the love of God. We are challenged to be people of loving service. Lord, open our hearts and spirits to accept the call to serve you by helping others. Let us confess our sins to the one who searches us and knows us. God of love and mercy, be with us this day. We have faltered in our service to you. We create divisions between people. We judge before we listen. We condemn before we make any attempt to understand. Our lives are in turmoil, and we confess that we have turned away from you. Fear and anger too often surround us and become the basis of our actions. Slow us down, Lord. Give us hearts overflowing with grace and compassion. Help us to mirror Jesus, who loved and healed others who were rejected by polite society. Remind us that we are called to be strong voices of hope for those who feel alienated and lost, to be a home to strangers, to quench thirst and to give nourishment, to welcome and bring words of hope. Forgive us when we have forgotten these things. Amen. In the power of the burning bush, in the quiet stillness, in the everyday noises of living, God is calling to each one of us, telling us to trust in the gifts with which God has bestowed on us. You are beloved and blessed by God to be a blessing to others. Rejoice. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange this morning signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, you may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Old Testament. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire, and out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush. "Moses, Moses," he said, "here I am." And then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cries on account of the taskmaster. Indeed, I know their sufferings. I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up on out of this land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign that I shall say that sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. The word of God for the people of God.
Seated. If there are any children who still would like to come up, please do. We'd love to have you up here with us. Well, good morning, everybody. Some of you may have seen on the news there's been a lot of rain and flooding this past week, and there's a big hurricane named Irma that's moving toward Florida, is already storming on Florida today. So there are a lot of people who are struggling and trying to figure out how they're going to make it through this storm. And it's easy to look at all that's happening there and think, well, what can I do? I don't know how I can help. Especially if you're a child, you think, well, I can't drive and I don't make any money and how am I supposed to help? But I am really excited and grateful that the children of this church have worked together to do something. If you're in an elementary school Sunday school class, you guys have been putting together flood buckets. Have any of you helped to do this? These are buckets that have all sorts of supplies, sponges and rags and breathing masks and gloves and things that all of the Methodist churches in Nashville are doing these together, and then we're going to send them down to Houston and to Florida so people can clean up and recover from the floods. So each one of us has something that we can do. We heard the story this morning of God calling Moses and telling Moses to go do something for God. And at first Moses said, I can't do anything. I'm not good enough to do anything. But God said, I'll be with you and I'll show you what you can do. So let's always be ready to do something for God. There's always something we can do to help somebody else for the sake of God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, I'm so thankful for these children who have helped to put together these flood buckets. And we ask your blessing upon them as they go to Houston, as they go to Florida and other places in our world where people are struggling and need help. Thank you always for giving us something we can do in your name to love and serve our neighbors. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all for listening. You can go back and join your parents or grandparents or friends. Those flood buckets are heavy, but they have a lot in them that will be helpful. And they do provide something for us to do. We find ourselves again in the story of Moses this morning. How many of you have seen the Cecil B. DeMille movie, The Ten Commandments? Yep, lots of us have seen that movie. I have actually never seen the whole thing from start to finish, but I've seen enough of it to picture Charlton Heston every time I think of Moses. I don't know whether I should or not, but whoever cast that movie did a great job picking Moses, because Charlton Heston just looks like a hero, doesn't he? He's strong, he's handsome, he's got that chiseled jaw and the dark, deep voice. He looks like the kind of hero we would want Moses to be. And Moses was, in fact, a great hero of the Bible. In Jesus' day, the Jewish people held up Moses and Elijah as the greatest prophets of all time. He led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt and led them for 40 years in the wilderness, putting up with their complaining and their questions and their wanting to go back and placing his faith in God. And then at that point, he was able eventually to get them almost to the promised land. He himself did not get to cross over into the promised land, but he got them to the finish line, and they made it. He is a great hero of our faith. And yet, when we find him this morning at the beginning of this journey, in the third chapter of Exodus, he doesn't look very heroic. In fact, he looks a lot like you and me, I think. God comes out of the burning bush and speaks to Moses and calls him to go to Pharaoh. And Moses finds six different ways to argue with God and to try and convince God to do something else. Please call somebody else. Now, we don't hear the full extent of that argument. The part that Anna read us just gives us two of Moses' efforts to deflect God's attention from him. But if we dig into this passage together, I think we'll see enough of ourselves to recognize how we too resist the call of God. So let's enter into this story together and see what it reveals to us about God and about ourselves. When the story opens, the beginning of chapter 3, Moses is doing just fine. He's living a comfortable life. You may remember from a couple of weeks ago the story of his birth and how his Hebrew mother was able to raise him, and then the daughter of Pharaoh adopted him into the household of Pharaoh. When he got to be an adult, he was living out of the household of Pharaoh, but one day he saw an Egyptian beating up on a Hebrew, and he got angry and he killed the Egyptian in a fit of anger. And people heard about it, and so Moses had to flee. And he fled really far away to the land of Midian. But he got to Midian, and he met some nice people, married a nice girl, started a family, and was working as a shepherd for his father-in-law. Life was good and stable and safe. His people back in Egypt, meanwhile, were suffering more and more with each and every day. The oppression of Pharaoh and his taskmasters was getting worse and worse. But Moses didn't really know about that. It wasn't really his problem so far away in Midian. Until that day when God found him and spoke to him out of the burning bush. And God said to Moses, "I have seen the suffering of my people. I have heard their cries. I know their pain, and I have come down to deliver them. And I am sending you." This is a God who knows the suffering of people. He has heard the cries and felt the pain of God's people. And God is choosing to enter into human history and deliver them through the hands and feet of Moses. So already this story tells us that God is a God always on the side of liberation and life and healing and hope, a God lifting up the oppressed, and this is a God who always chooses to work through people, normal people. We might think, well, you know, why couldn't God just smite the Pharaoh and let the people out just without using Moses or any other flawed person? But that's never been God's way. All throughout Scripture, God chooses people to be God's hands and feet. Reminds me of an experience I had a few years ago. I had the opportunity to hear Tony Campolo speak. Some of you may have heard of him. He's a sociologist and a writer and a theologian and a pastor. And he was talking about this work that he'd been doing in Haiti to build a school that would offer an education to 50 students, 50 children in Haiti. And they raised the money and they got the plans together and they arrived in Port-au-Prince and they were expecting those 50 students to be there to welcome them. And the doors of the van opened and there were 500 children in the square. And he was overwhelmed with grief and even anger at God. He was angry at God for not providing for these children. How can you let all these children go without an education? I can only help 50. We can't help the 500. And he said almost immediately he felt this answer to that question in his bones when God was saying, why don't my people care for these children? I need my people to be here responding with their hands and feet. And he felt convicted by that, as we all should. God's healing, relieving, liberating work in the world must be done through you and me. But if you're like me, you're a lot like Moses in this story. When he hears God's call, he says, who am I? Who am I to go to Pharaoh? Who am I to do this work or that work or this thing? I don't have those gifts. Listen to my inadequacies. I'm not that person. Look at the gifts of that person and what they can do. I am not enough. I can't tell you how much energy I have spent in the past couple of weeks dwelling on how inadequate I am to respond to all that's going on in our community, in our world. I'm not good enough. I can't do it. I don't know what the answer is. And that's what Moses tries to tell God. And God answers, I will be with you. I will be with you. It's not about you, Moses. It's not about your resume and your gifts and your skills. It's about your ability to open up and trust me and let me work through you. I will be with you, and that is enough. There is so much work that God has for us to do, and how much time and energy do we waste dwelling on how inadequate we are? God wants Moses to get over it, and I think the same is true for us. But Moses isn't done arguing with God. He throws up another question. Okay, who am I? Now I'm going to ask, who are you? Tell me who you are, God. Give me all the answers I need about you so that I can have you in a box. And when people start asking and questioning what I'm doing and questioning why I'm doing it, I can give them all the answers. Tell me your name so I can be in control. Don't we want that too? It's so hard to leap head first into the work that God calls us to do if we don't really know how it's all going to work out, if we don't have the plan in front of us, if we don't have all the answers. But God has never given God's servants the answers. We get one step at a time and the promise that God is with us. And God's answer to Moses' question the first time around is, I am who I am. I will be who I will be. This little three-word Hebrew phrase has driven rabbis and scholars and readers of the Bible crazy for generations because nobody can really translate it. And that's exactly the point. God cannot be captured and labeled by us. What is asked of us is to trust in the goodness of God. But God gives Moses a second answer also. God's first answer is, I will be who I will be. You can't put me in a box, Moses. But then God also says, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I'm the God of the universe, far beyond your 15-pound brain's ability to understand or capture. But I am also a God who offers my very self in relationship with you. I know your name, and I offer myself in a personal, intimate, daily relationship with you. This story of Moses is our story. God has so much healing and liberating and reconciling work for us to do in the world. Let us not spend time dwelling on what we can't do or what our limits are. But let us place our trust in the God of the universe, who is trustworthy, who loves us, and calls us by name. It took Moses a while, but eventually he said yes. May we as individuals and as a congregation be willing to say yes to God. This creed that we share so often reminds us of who we are and who we are called to be as the church. So I would invite you to stand as you're able and join with me on page 883 in our hymnals, and let us affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have a prayer request that you would like to share, please fill out the gray card that you'll find in the pew racks in front of you. Please indicate if you would like the prayer request to be shared or if you'd like it to be kept confidential. And you can place the prayer card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Let us now offer to God our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Holy God of holy ground, you are the great I am. You heard the prayer of the Israelites. Hear now our prayers. We pray for peace where there is conflict, for food where there is hunger, for hope where there is despair, for health where there is sickness, for faith where there is fear, for life where there is death. We lift up all the young people brought here as young children who now face uncertainty about their dreams of a future in the place they call home. We pray for the United Methodist Church as it seeks the way forward, that we will become a place of welcome for all persons, no matter their gender, race, sexual orientation, economic or family status, ethnicity, or mental or physical ability. We pray for all those who are suffering from flooding in India and Southeast Asia, wildfires in the Western U.S., earthquakes in Mexico and Guatemala. We pray for those who are recovering from the tropical storm Hurricane Harvey, and we especially pray today for those who've already experienced Irma and are now in the path. We pray in the name of Jesus, who conquers all that would defeat us and give us new life. Holy God, like Moses, we question our fitness to serve here on earth. We think you've made a mistake questioning your call. Overcome our doubts with the assurance of your presence. Help us respond to your call with a fervent yes, trusting in your presence and guidance, that we may go forth to serve you joyfully and confidently in this world. Hear our prayers as we now join our voices in praying together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As God has blessed our lives with abundant love and gifts, let us bring our tithes and offerings to this place, seeking to help others, to offer comfort and hope.
we go from this place knowing that the God who is unnameable has named us and offered God's very self in relationship with us. May we go to share that good news with all, for all are invited. Go in that peace. Amen.